Chapter 15. Nance paced back and forth in front of the stone fireplace, playing it up for the audience in the conservatory, which consisted of everyone involved with the documentary: Violet, Lexi, Jack, Ruth, Ida, and Helen. Even Danny Manning was there, having been questioned by Garrity and then released after Ruth proved the videos were not doctored. Garrity seemed to have a lot of faith in the lady's detecting skills, and Lexi figured that was largely due to Jack's vouching for them. Lexi stood next to a prehistoric-looking potted plant with gigantic leaves. A smile played across her lips as she watched her grandmother pacing back and forth. Lexi figured this was more for effect than anything. Nance, who looked deep in thought, was probably thinking about how to best lay out the clues to her audience. The room was full of anxious silence. Everyone was on the edge of their seat, waiting to hear what Nance had to say. Lexi studied the people in the room. One of them was a killer, but which one? If the guilty person was present, she couldn't tell by the look on his face. Across the room, she noticed Gustav standing awfully close to Ruth. She hoped he wasn't the killer, because it was obvious Ruth had taken a liking to him. Garrity came in, and the crowd stirred.
"Hi, everybody."
He leaned against the wall next to Jack, then turned to Nance.
"Okay, Columbo, tell us what you got."
Nance clapped her hands together, and everyone riveted their attention on her. "Thank you all for coming. As you know, there was a murder here last night. A very cleverly planned murder. A murder made to look like suicide. But the killer screwed up a few details. And that killer is in this room with us right now." A nervous murmur rippled through the crowd. Garrity rolled his eyes and whispered to Jack,
"Is she always this dramatic?"
Nance fixed him with a glare.
"Quiet, please." "Wait a minute," Mrs. Pendrake spoke up. "I thought Danny Manning was the killer."
She pointed to Danny, who was standing over by the glass doors that led to the garden.
"He had the pills in his room, and he had a motive."
"Ah," Nance held her index finger up. "That's what the killer wanted you to think. Those pills were obviously planted. I knew right away Danny couldn't be the killer, because no one would be so stupid as to keep the pills in their room to be found as evidence later on. He would have simply flushed them down the toilet."
"What about Karen? Didn't she make the drink that killed him?" Joy asked.
"Yes, I had my sights on Karen, too. But video surveillance proved she did not doctor the drink. Though our investigation did turn up the fact that she's not quite who she seems to be."
"What does that mean?" someone asked.
"Although Karen isn't the killer, she was sent here for a specific purpose. To ferret out another questionable person. The mole."
One of the guys from the production crew screwed his face up.
"Mole? What mole?"
"There's a mole in this group. Someone who was spying on the project so that they could bring the information to a rival production company. Karen was hired by your corporate headquarters to find out who that person was."
People shifted in their seats and looked at each other suspiciously.
"And that person killed Leo?" someone asked. "At one point I thought so, but I think you'll see as I lay out the clues that the mole and the killer were two separate people."
"Just get on with that, lady. Who is the killer?"
Nance gave the heckler a sharp look.
"I will reveal the killer in due time, but first I want to lay out exactly what led to their discovery."
Nance glanced over at Garrity, who made a circular move-it-along motion with his hand. She continued,
At first, I was quite perplexed as to how someone could have gotten into Leonard's room. We thought the video had been altered. Any one of you would have the skill set to do that. Nance paused and looked over the production crew, who were, again, glancing around at each other. But my colleague Ruth, Nance gestured toward Ruth, is somewhat of a computer expert, and she deemed the files had not been tampered with. So, we knew some trickery must be going on.
I think it was him.
Joy stabbed a finger in the direction of Gustav Schilling, who seemed nonplussed by her accusation. Nance nodded.
At first, I suspected him as well. He was even seen on the surveillance tape, mysteriously going outside in the middle of the night. When we questioned him, he tried to cast suspicion on someone else, claiming to have seen them outside. But when we questioned that person, they denied being out there.
So we knew one of them was lying, Ida chimed in, earning a look from Nance.
Apparently, Nance didn't like sharing the limelight with anyone, not even Ida.
Yes, someone was lying, but who?
Nance paused for effect, and then turned sharply in the direction of Mrs. Pendrake.
Mrs. Pendrake, you said you went right to bed after dinner, but I think that was a lie. It was you out in the garden that Gustav saw, wasn't it?
Mrs. Pendrake's hands fluttered at her neck as her cheeks turned red.
Well, I never. Are you calling me a liar?
Ida twisted in her seat to look at Mrs. Pendrake.
Yes.
Mrs. Pendrake scowled at Ida.
I know you did lie, and I can prove it, Nance said. And I know why, too.
Mrs. Pendrake bristled.
Really? I don't see how.
Nance pointed to Mrs. Pendrake's shoes.
You have red mud stains on your shoes. That red mud is only located by the koi pond.
So?
I went to the koi pond.
So what?
Yes, but when did you go to the koi pond? That is the question. You couldn't have gone this morning because you told us that you were shopping and you'd seen Darlene in town. When we saw you in the breakfast room, the mud was dry. So, given that you were shopping in the morning and the mud wouldn't have had time to dry if you'd been to the pond after that, you must have visited it before the crack of dawn. My bet is that it was much earlier, like in the middle of the night. Mr. Schilling told the truth. He did see you. You were out there last night, and you did lie to us about that earlier, didn't you?
This is outrageous. Surely you don't think that I'm the killer?
Mrs. Pendrake's eyes darted from Garrity to Nance. Nance held her palm up.
No, actually, I don't think that you're the killer. But I think you saw someone when you were out there, and you couldn't tell us because you couldn't admit that you were outside in the middle of the night.
Mrs. Pendrake became indignant.
Honestly, these accusations are getting tedious. Why would I not tell you about being outside at night?
Because you were outside in a secret rendezvous, passing along information. Mrs. Pendrake, you are the mole.
The crowd gasped, and everyone twisted to look at a crimson-cheeked Mrs. Pendrake.
Fine. I might have entered into an agreement with a rival company, but I didn't mean anyone any harm. And I certainly didn't kill Mr. Bottaccio. I'm just a naturally curious person, and I knew I could find something out. These sorts of things keep me from being bored. At my age, one has to find things to do.
She shrugged. Then her eyes widened.
Wait a minute. I did see someone when I was out there.
Do you mean that the killer is...
Wait.
Nance cut her off.
Let me continue and see if we have the facts right, lest we condemn an innocent person.
Nan's gaze drifted over the room.
I had the hardest time figuring out the motive, and it was actually you, Mrs. Pendrake, who helped me with that.
Me?
Lexi noticed Mrs. Pendrake was edging toward the door. The angry glares of the production crew must have been getting to her, and she was probably trying to secure her departure ahead of an angry mob.
Yes. When we saw you going through the production crew's things in the breakfast room, the pamphlet you had gave me a clue as to the motive. But I still didn't know how the killer pulled off having the door locked from the inside until later that day.
Meow.
Houdini appeared at Nan's feet. He wound figure eights around her ankles, purring loudly. Nan's looked down at him and smiled.
In the end, it was Houdini who actually cracked the case.
The cat?
Navy's shirt looked over at Garrity.
Is she for real? That sounds crazy.
Garrity smiled.
Let's just give her a chance and see where she's going with this.
Nan's nodded at Garrity.
You see, when Leonard made the announcement at dinner about revealing the secret of Wellington Mance, the killer must have been afraid that Leonard was going to spill the beans about something that would incriminate them. The killer knew Leonard had to be silenced and came up with a plan to make it look like Leonard had taken too many pills. We'd all seen the full pill bottle in his hand at dinner, right?
Everyone nodded.
The killer was very clever, setting it up so it looked like an open-and-shut case, hoping the police would think that it was suicide, or maybe Leonard just got confused and had taken too many pills. With the door locked from the inside, how could they expect foul play?
I guess they didn't count on us being here,
Ida said proudly.
No, indeed, Nan said. Anyway, in order to pull it off, the killer needed to know something about this house. Something that even the new owner, Violet herself, didn't know.
Violet's brows shot up in surprise. Apparently, she wasn't privy to what Nan's was about to reveal. Nan's continued.
It wasn't until I saw Houdini in the rose garden that I realized what it was that the killer knew.
What is it? What does Houdini have to do with this?
Violet asked.
Did you ever notice that Houdini seems to appear somewhere that he couldn't possibly be?
Nans asked.
Yes, I did notice that. It's uncanny.
I thought there were two cats, Joy said.
Is that it?
Nan shook her head.
No, there is only one Houdini, but he knows the secret, and so does the killer.
Nan paused, letting the anticipation build as everyone inched forward in their seats, waiting.
What is it?
Someone finally asked.
This house has secret passageways.
Nan smiled at the looks on the faces of her audience.
That's how Houdini appears to be in two places at once. And that's how the killer got in and out of Leonard's room without being seen.
A murmur rippled through the crowd.
Secret passageways? Where?
Violet wanted to know.
I'll show you after, though I don't know all of them. But I do know the one the killer used. It leads right into the room Leonard was in.
Oh, dear, Violet said. That's why we never saw anyone on the tape. No one else knew about these passageways?
Navy's shirt turned to look at the rest of the crew, who all shook their heads.
That's right. Nan said, No one knew, not even Violet. She bought the mansion from the bank, and no one at the bank had even been in the house for more than a cursory glance, so they didn't know about them. The renovations hadn't gotten far enough to expose any of them yet. This house has been vacant for 25 years, after the previous owner died mysteriously. Of course, now, in light of what I've discovered, the police might need to open an investigation into his death. Anyway, the only people left alive who would know about the passages are people who lived in or were associated with the house long ago.
I still don't get it, Joy said. What was the secret, and why was it worth killing over?
The killer committed a crime many years ago, which has gone unsolved to this day, Nan said.
You mean the tiara robbery?
That's right. The tiara was not stolen by any ghost. It was stolen by Leonard's killer, who used the secret passages to pull off the crime. That person is someone who knows this house inside and out. Someone who spent a lot of time here. And there's only one person here who grew up hanging around in this house. Nans looked directly at Gloria.
Who, me?
I don't know anything.
She backstepped a little toward the French doors leading to the garden.
I think you do. Last night at dinner, you said you spent a lot of time in this house when you were younger, and the clues prove it. Here's what I think happened.
Nans resumed pacing, ticking off the items on her fingers.
After Leonard made the announcement, everyone went their separate ways. Most people went to bed, as Leonard suggested. But you stayed in the conservatory and had Karen bring you a drink, thus providing you with an alibi of sorts. You didn't stay in the conservatory to drink it, though. You poured the drink out in the plant, so when Karen came back later to get the glass, it would look like you had been in here sipping it for quite some time.
Nans pointed to the dead peace lily that Ruth had fretted over earlier.
That's what killed the plant. Ruth glared at Gloria. A lovely, innocent plant like that. It's a darn shame.
Nans continued on, ignoring Ruth's outburst.
Then you slipped outside to the lower garden where there's a secret entrance tunnel through the basement. I discovered it earlier today when Sprinkles had an altercation with Houdini. I couldn't figure out how the cat could have gotten outside when he had clearly run inside and the door shut behind him minutes before. But when I looked at the stones, I noticed an interesting crack. It was too symmetrical to be the settling of the building, and when I looked closer, I could feel air flowing through it. Later on, I went down and verified my suspicions. It was, indeed, an entrance into a secret passageway that runs throughout Wellington Manse.
So what if I put my drink in the plant? Maybe I didn't like the drink anymore. You can't prove I went outside.
Gloria's stilettos made sharp little clacks as she shuffled backward toward the door.
Oh, but I think I can. You left your shoes in the conservatory because you didn't want the clack, clack, clacking of them to make noise in the passageway. People would have heard you behind the walls. Mrs. Pendrake saw your shoes in here. She told us so herself, didn't you?
Everyone looked at Mrs. Pendrake, who nodded.
So I took my shoes off. Big deal. My tootsie's hurt. I've never even been out to that garden.
Gloria had backed right up against the door, her hand behind her back, feeling for the knob.
You've never been to the garden? Then how did you get those scratches on your leg?
Nans pointed to the 6 deep scratches on Gloria's thigh. Gloria looked down.
I told you, the cat scratched me.
I don't think so. The cat only has 4 claws, but you have 6 scratches. Those scratches came from the rose bushes right outside the secret passageway, the ones you had to push through to get to the passage.
Nans looked around the room triumphantly.
And there's 1 final nail in your coffin.
Nans turned to Mrs. Pendrake.
You did see a person when you were coming back from the koi pond last night, didn't you?
Mrs. Pendrake nodded, apparently glad the focus had moved from her being the mole to Gloria being the killer.
Yes, that's right. I saw Gloria, and she was coming up from the rose garden.
All eyes were on Gloria as she twisted the doorknob behind her, unlatching the door. She pivoted on her sharp, pointed stiletto heel and lurched out the doorway. Too bad she didn't notice Houdini, who had been weaving around her ankles. Her stiletto pierced his tail.
Meow!
He let out a wail that would raise the dead, causing Gloria to misstep. Her heel broke off. Her foot slammed to the ground sideways, causing her ankle to roll. She stumbled forward and fell right into the arms of the 2 policemen who had been waiting for her outside.